Thanks for joining us. My name is Ibrahim Sani. We continue our coverage on Belanjawan 2023, Malaysia Madani, or the Budget 2023. In it, we're going to explore some of the key factors of the government in trying to widen the tax base that we all know is a little bit more narrow than most. What is also most important is the introduction of new taxes, including that of the capital gains tax, the idea of incentivizing people to show up through the voluntary disclosure program, and many more. But most importantly is the exploration into how this impacts you at home, particularly your wallet, and how this may impact your income tax payable for this year and the years to come. Joining us on the studio, in the studio right now, is Tan Hui Beng, the Deputy Tax Leader at Deloitte Malaysia. So, Hui Beng, let's talk a little bit more about the income tax increase and decrease for some. Maybe you can explore with us some of the key details into this. And that whole confusion that we saw earlier on upon the notion of percentage points versus percentage.
Thank you. Thank you, Ibrahim, for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yep.
So, this budget 2023 that was announced yesterday. So let's look at the personal income tax. This is a very big item here, whereby number one, there is going to be a tax reduction or saving for M40. Okay, so this M40 people category is a person that will be sandwiched between top T20 and also the B40, right? So 2 percentage point reduction for the chargeable income of bracket from 35,000 to 100,000. So there's a little bit of saving for them. Mm-hmm. That's a good news, right? But of course, arising from that, that's going to be offset by a increase of tax collection for the given that the rates for the T20, yeah, that will be increased a little bit. So in a way, it's offsetting. Mm. So if you look at that, the question whether is it the right thing to do or not, well, this is a difficult question, but it's very much in line with the Prime Minister's talk about in terms of Madani. And maybe we would take one step back. Madani, what's the meaning of this? I would say that script, sustainability, compassion, innovation, prosperity, and trust. So in terms of really compassion, this is where we are saying that we try to, the richer probably will share some responsibility and to try to help out the poor in that sense, right? Mm, so that is one thing that people are talking about, but personal income tax is one key item that, that they, one was really debating on, whether this is the right move or not, yeah? But some people will be affected. That's the situation, yeah?
Okay, also I want to talk more about the percentage points and percentages.
Right.
There's a lot of charts that has been shared on social media. If your income tax payable is a certain amount within this range, this is how much you're going to be impacted. And one can even easily argue that there could be some misunderstanding in terms of how much the T20 belongs in. In fact, that whole notion of T20, M40, B40 is captured through household, but income tax is a personal note. Therefore, if somebody is earning, let's say, 8,333 ringgit, this individual is classified as a T20. However, because of the income tax payable rate moving forward, this individual has to pay 26 to 28% more. How do you think this is going to impact the bottom line of these individuals that is earning within this tax bracket?
I think to answer this, some number crunching for that particular individual, probably he needs to do some number crunching. But I think the increase or the tax saving for, let's say, for M40, there are some saving, may not be that significant, but it is quite meaningful for those category of people. And for the T20, the knee-jerk reaction is, wow, there's going to be additional taxes. But when you work it out, it may not be that significant, right? But so in a way, it's kind of offsetting, trying to shift the burden of M40 to T20. So I think a number crunching will be very required. Otherwise, it's going to be very difficult to see the impact. Yeah. So number crunching is important.
If it's not that significant, why is the government introducing it?
I think maybe this is a good question. So maybe I want to take one step back. I go to the key point of this budget is quite good in the sense that it ends the speculation as to whether GST will come back or not, at least for now. So Prime Minister was very clear, not for now, GST is not coming back. And arising from that, you can expect a number of new taxes to be introduced, and of course, one of the ways is really to increase the taxes for T20, and then to compensate that. And apart from that, then we have other kind of taxes that which we will be dealing with, capital gains tax, so on and so forth, right? So this is just one of the many factors that, you know, the government is looking at to balance things up, right?
Okay. Yeah? All right. Because of the new taxes that has been introduced, including that of the capital gains tax, right, including that of the luxury tax, the reduction of SME tax from 70% to 15%, if I'm not mistaken, right, and these, you know, bibs and bobs of taxes coming in and going out, is this enough to try to increase the government revenue, which we now know at 38% income tax as the revenue from the 300 plus billion ringgit, and non-direct tax revenue of about 20+%. That is, of course, translating to about, in total, about 250 billion ringgit of the 300 plus billion ringgit revenue. Will that increase?
Okay, so this is a good question. So no GST. Number two, there is a CGT, capital gains tax, on gain from the sale of unlisted shares, unquoted shares. Now, the problem here is that we don't know the rate, right? And I think the Prime Minister has affirmed that it's going to be, we're going to go slow with a lower rate. So I'm sure they will have to do some study to really determine whether this is feasible or not. Will we meet the objective for getting more taxes? Because small percentage may not really meet the objective. So that study needs to be done. But the good thing is that there are other things that have been will be introduced, luxurious good tax, like you know, in terms of watches, luxury watches, and also you buy luxury cars, and therefore, you know, there will be taxes on that. And people say, why are we introducing all this? Well, it makes sense. It makes sense because the normal rakyat will not be facing this. It's just those, maybe the T20 that can afford this, they will be subject to that. Now, is it uncommon? Not really. In Singapore, there are certain form of luxury goods taxes, and in China, there is as well. So it's nothing new. So I think that part, it makes sense, right? And of course, then you're mentioning about CGT. There's something that we got to really look at. Malaysia itself already have a form of limited capital gains tax. It's called real property gains tax.
Yeah. Right?
But that's much narrower. So when CGT is introduced, really, I think the government needs to do analysis of pro and cons. We don't want a CGT, a robust CGT regime where, you know, that will impact the genuine mergers and acquisitions when you transfer shares, you know, for internal restructuring, and you know, you're going to be paying all these unnecessary taxes from left hand to right hand, right? So this is something that's why the government needs some time to study this CGT. But to be fair to the Malaysian government, CGT is not uncommon. In this part of the world, only Singapore doesn't have that. Hong Kong is started to introduce some form of capital gains tax. So it's not something that not uncommon. So it's okay for them to introduce, but a robust study needs to be done to look at the pros and cons.
Okay, let's go into this whole robust study that needs to be done. My business friends, business owners, just last night was texting me, and they were bordering on outrage on the capital gains tax being introduced for the disposal of unlisted shares.
Right.
Their argument is only one. This does not provide a catalytic environment for foreign investors and domestic direct investment into businesses, because you're going to be taxed upon those disposal. This deprives, the argument, of funds, fresh funds coming in to assist unlisted companies from growing their businesses, because the incentive for these investors are no longer there because of the introduction of the capital gains tax. Now, nothing that they say is wrong, but the impact of it, do you think that this is, you know, do all doom and gloom the way they say it? Remember, they are the ones that are going to start the businesses, and therefore they are the ones that are going to pay for it. I can imagine them liking it.
Right.
But a person like me, hey, yeah, you know, more taxes for the government means more income, good lah. So how do you balance these two views?
I think for an investor wanting to do business in Malaysia, taxation is one of the many factors only. Yeah? There are other factors, you know, that needs to be considered, the cost of doing business, the ease of doing business in Malaysia. So if you talk about capital gains tax, right, this will be upon their exit at a later stage, right? But, Malaysia's general tax environment is still very competitive. So, but we did mention, I mean, I would say that when the Malaysian governments do a study on this, they will also be thinking of certain situations that there will be a capital gains tax exemption. So if you are able to meet the conditions, I'm sure there will be some certain form of exemptions if conditions are met. So I wouldn't want to say that, you know, this will deter, you know, the FDI, but I'm sure the government will study this carefully because it has been done in many countries. So we are on an equal round in the sense that this is not a new taxes per se, right? So, but I can understand the concern by, I mean, no tax is good tax for the right, for the investor. This is normal, but it's a situation where we need to introduce new taxes, and this is not something too new. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. On top of this, we're looking at how businesses are reacting towards other forms of taxes. These kind of friends that I have, they're not saying anything about the reduction of the income tax for micro SMEs, micros and SMEs, which I think is disingenuous because this means more cash flow being made available for these small businesses to thrive. Right. This has to be good, right, for these kind of businesses?
Yes, definitely. So for that's why I think this budget is quite inclusive, you know, whilst government...
They take a bit, they put a bit.
Yeah, a bit here. So they are quite inclusive in that sense, right? Yes.
Okay. On top of that, what about corporate tax? Because we've been talking about how the corporate's earnings for the fourth quarter have been soft. We've seen how some of the corporates are posting softer than anticipated fourth quarter, despite strong third quarter and second quarter. Right. So let's talk more to that effect.
Yeah. So apart from the reduction of 2 points for small and medium enterprise, micro enterprise, the normal corporate tax, there's no additional corporate tax. Good, there's no prosperity tax 2.0. That has been affirmed. That's very good. So essentially, there's no additional taxes on that. But what one kind of taxes that will be coming in is, you know, we spoke about this before. I'm going to say this again. It's about the global minimum tax. So this global minimum
tax... We need to talk about that. Yeah, I was really thinking about that as well.
And interestingly, global minimum tax was not mentioned in the budget speech. It was not mentioned in the appendixes, but it was mentioned in the touch point. So this is an important part. It does shows that Malaysia will move forward with this tax, anticipated 2024. But I wanted
when
to...
When we last met, you were saying anticipated 2022.
Now plus one, right?
Yeah. With the possibility of kicking down the can even further to 2025.
Probably, but we do anticipate 2024. But I just want to make it very clear to here is that these taxes is not a... You know, the government does not have a choice. Whichever government of the day have no choice but to introduce this because it's not about, it's not about trying to collect additional taxes, because if the government of Malaysia does not introduce this, easily other government will come in and take up the taxes.
Despite
we are ceding the taxing right. Yeah. So we got to be very clear. This is not GST. This is not inherent tax. It's something that Malaysia have to do. It's a matter of timing. I mean, Singapore says 2025, Hong Kong says 2025, but I don't think, in my personal view, I don't think Malaysia has to follow 2025. We can be the early adopter, and benefit from that. But there's a balancing act here to do it early or to do it later, right?
Yeah. In fact, we need to see how the global minimum tax is going to be placed together or interplay between the current taxes that we've seen today.
Right.
I know it's a bit premature, but do you think that Budget 2024 will have to talk about the new taxes or removal of some taxes in contrast of the global minimum tax?
Not really. I just two separate things altogether. Yeah. All the taxes that we mentioned earlier is really a domestic type, right? Whereas this global minimum tax is a situation, for example, Malaysian listed co having various subsidiaries overseas. Mm. If Malaysia doesn't implement that, other people will take that. And also, it is more to whether are we ceding our taxing right to other jurisdiction, because someone will be picking up the taxes, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So it's not really a choice, and it has nothing to do with the other taxes that we're talking about. It's really a separate matter altogether, right?
Okay. Yeah. We'll go for one short break before we continue on our conversation with Deloitte Malaysia. Thanks for staying on with us. I have with me Tan Hui Bang, the Deputy Tax Leader of Deloitte Malaysia. On top of this, you also have a view on the regional tax landscape, being the Executive Director for the South Asia International Tax Outfit. Taking a step back, looking at the forest instead of the trees, How is our tax regime in contrast with that of our neighboring countries? Why I'm asking this is because if an investor wants to shop around and look for markets to invest in, is Malaysia now an attractive place to pump money into? Tax is, of course, just one consideration. There's many more, including the dual language capability of our workforce, the network connectivity of our country, the infrastructure development. All that has to be taken into consideration. But for that tax element, are we sexy enough for investors to come in?
In terms of corporate tax, we're at 24%. I mean, if you look at the neighboring country, I have to say that ours are on the higher side, slightly higher side, but in that sense, but we have other factors. Political stability right now is
good. Cost structure, wages are low. Yeah, good, by the way, if you're a worker, but
absolutely
great for
cost
a company.
Cost of doing business is still good, low now. So that helps. But in terms of corporate tax rate, I think in time to come, probably it can come down, but at the moment, we are at 24. I don't see it coming down in the next few years because we got to manage a fiscal situation right now. I think we are still an attractive country. Yeah.
And based on this, do you think that this budget is a step in the right direction then?
Definitely, it's a challenging one. The Prime Minister has to strike a balance of economic growth versus responsible fiscal management. So I think this is the thing that he could do, and it's quite inclusive, I would say. Everyone has something, but of course not everyone will be happy, but it is what it is. But I think we are on the right direction. Sometimes it's needed. And also, I forgot to mention one thing about best tax amnesty program that we're talking about, right?
This is
an extremely important one. This is not the first time Malaysian government having doing tax amnesty. It has been done a few times, and it was quite successful. About 300,000 taxpayers participated in the past, and they managed to get about 8 billion ringgit Malaysian, not too bad. And I think this coming tax amnesty from 1st June 2024 to 31st May 2025 is an opportunity for corporates, for taxpayers like you and I, to get things right in case, if there are errors in the past, if you've forgotten to declare certain income, it's the right time to do that. And there's a waiver of penalty, 100% waiver. That is really good news. The only question is certain taxpayers sometimes think, if I participate in that tax amnesty, really will Inland Revenue or Customs respect that, and will they ever come back again and audit on the same item? I'm quite sanguine. I'm quite confident that they will respect that. The Inland Revenue will respect this. So I think this one should make the most of this tax amnesty. Yeah.
Speaking about the tax amnesty, it's rare for countries to do it so close to each other in the time frame that's given. The tax amnesty that was given previously was in 2018.
Yep.
That was just 5 years away,
yep.
5 years ago. And then now moving to 2024. So it's like the gap is 6 years. Is this too short of a gap to be given between tax amnesty windows?
I don't think it is too short. It's okay because at the end of the day, the taxpayers in the past that who have not participated in that tax amnesty program, this is the third opportunity for them to do that, right? So I think it makes sense, but of course you can't do it too often.
Talking about the structural issue of how we declare income taxes and, of course, how do we submit those income taxes.
Absolutely.
A lot of countries have moved on towards pre-filled forms. Yeah. We just sign off on it.
Right.
And or there's a dispute or anything, we alert the authorities. But basically, the job's done if we want it to be.
Right.
Where do you see us getting to that level? I'm sure you want that level too, right?
Yeah. I think we Malaysia as a whole is moving towards that direction with e-invoicing and so on and so forth, right? So really, we are moving towards that, towards a full compliance, but it will take a while, but I think we are in the right direction for sure. And I would encourage really corporates and individual taxpayers, including myself at all, if I've forgotten to declare anything, it's the right time to get it right. Come clean and sort it out, And the Inland Revenue and the Customs, they're pretty friendly and they they'll be supportive of this and trying to get things done once and for all. Right?
Okay, which begs that whole question of how strong is our Inland Revenue Board when it comes to the audit team? Are we depriving them of the necessary resources for them to hire more, get better auditors, try to get more investigations out there? The more we empower the IRB, the better the tax collection, at least in theory. Mm-hmm. Where do we stand when it comes to empowering IRB?
I think the Inland Revenue these days compared to the personnel in around these days, they are really, really highly qualified. Most of them are accountants.
You say that because you're the deputy tax leader of the
Deloitte? Not really. I have a really good experience, and they are really technically sound. I have to say this. That's a fact. And they are really sound, and they are able to give you a good argument.
IRB is not my best friend, I suppose. But yes, go on.
But really, I mean, with due respect, they have gotten to a next level. Yeah, and also they. Like I say, under the leadership of the current leadership of Inland Revenue, I think they are also very flexible in that sense. Yeah, so it's a good thing. It's a good thing. So tax amnesty, we got to make the most of it. Yeah.
Okay. One more break before we continue on our conversation with Tan Hui Bang of Deloitte. Thanks for continuing on with this. I have with me the Deputy Tax Leader of Deloitte Malaysia, Tan Hui Bang. So, generally speaking, this has to be one of those more interesting budgets that you can comment on. We're looking at the widening of the tax base at a very interesting rate. We're also looking at how, I guess, creative the government can be in terms of increasing revenue. And the whole disbursement of it is also quite interesting as well. Say, for instance, Bernas having to channel 30% of their profits from imports to straight to the Pesawah Padi.
Right.
Those are fantastic information that needs to be given. Which begs the whole question of how did we keep those kind of monopolies intact for so long? How did we not try to be, I guess, creative in widening the tax base before this? Why do you think this government is a little bit more pragmatic than before?
I think the previous government and the current government, I think all of them are doing their best, but it depends on the facts and circumstances at that point in time, right? So under the present government, probably the situations warrants them to really suggest a few new taxes. Mm. But I would say that each government definitely have done their best to manage the situation. Mm. I just want to add one important one. I'm not sure whether you vape or not. There is one.
I'm not vaping, but I am chewing my nicotine gum.
Absolutely. So as you know, there will be some excise duty on the nicotine for the e-cigarette and vape.
Yeah.
And interestingly, yes, it's going to be a bit costlier, right?
Yeah.
But 50% of that collection will be channeled to improve the healthcare services in Malaysia. About 50% of collection. So I think that's quite an interesting proposal. Yeah. Trying to manage that. So that's why I say this budget is quite creative and also quite inclusive in that sense. Yeah, taking a bit from here, putting back there. I think that makes sense.
Okay.
Right? Yeah.
Final question, Hui Bang, is on GST.
Right.
All the data, all the signals are given. Are you reading this as GST introduction is inevitable, or it's going to be kicked down the road even further?
Right. It requires a strongest political will to get this done, to reintroduce that. But I'll suggest that I'm also confident that the current government is not closing its door for GST.
It doesn't sound like it.
It doesn't sound like it.
But now, also, it doesn't sound like all these because of the new taxes and all this.
That's right.
We're seeing a GST on the horizon anytime soon. I don't think so.
Probably not in the near future, but probably in the mid run, it will be reintroduced. Maybe not at 6%, probably at a lower rate. But all roads lead to Rome. I think GST is unavoidable, and also the rakyat also must understand that this is the best tax. I mean, one of the appropriate tax system that people have been using this over for many years by many countries, right? But I only want to say this when the new taxes on T20 was mentioned, additional taxes, a little bit here and there. A number of my friends also WhatsApp me and also contact me and say, wow, look, there are more taxes, should we be considering, maybe moving overseas to work?
Wow, lari
terus.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. So I was quite upset. I'll say this. I only have this to say, di mana bumi dipijak, di situ langit dijunjung. That's what I told them. So we are in Malaysia. right? So we got to do our part, right? Everyone has to pay their fair share of taxes. The richer can do help a little bit on that. And at the end of the day, Malaysia will be a great nation. Wow. You know, so we all have to do our part, be thankful for what we have. So I'm sure a lot of people will be sharing this sentiment, you know. We can't be having all the tax goodies all the way. So you have to give and take, and hopefully the nation will prosper as one.
Thank you very much. Very heartfelt conversation. Surprising, coming from a tax leader as well. So thank you very much. That was Tan Hui Beng, the Deputy Tax Leader of Deloitte Malaysia. We continue our coverage on Budget 2023. Do stay tuned with us on Astro Awani. There are plenty of resources like this that can be found on astroawani.com. My name is Ibrahim Sani. Catch you in the next one.